Well, I want to look here at this passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, and specifically here, verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7. And I'd like to bring a message entitled, The Peace of God. The Peace of God. We find this in verse number 7. The Bible says there, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God is this phrase, is something I believe I've misunderstood most of my life. And I would read about the peace of God, and I would interpret it, apply it in my mind as a peace from God, a peace that God gives us. And yes, it is imparted to us, but here the emphasis isn't necessarily peace from God. The emphasis is peace of God. And so as we see here, verse number 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And the emphasis here is the fact that what is the peace of God? What kind of peace does God have? Let's think for a moment. When I was driving this afternoon, this evening, earlier this evening, and I was coming actually from the work at West Hill Baptist Chapel, and I was driving along the Coast Road, and I was headed to my house. I was driving a minibus, and I was headed along the Coast Road, and I drove through Rottingdean, and I live in Salt Lake, and I drove through Rottingdean, and just past the light in Rottingdean along the Coast Road, suddenly the houses on your right disappear. And I wasn't really paying attention to this. I was enjoying the beautiful waves that I could see whenever I was up high enough and keeping the van steady. But suddenly those houses disappeared, and I had actually another pastor with me, all the way from Liverpool, helping me today on the work at the chapel, and he is going back this evening. And he was with me, and I'm driving along, speaking with him, and as I got past that row of houses, that row of shops, and they disappeared suddenly, and it was just the wind from the sea hit my van, and it jerked, this big 15-seater minibus, and our van went like this, and I suddenly went, whoa, and the pastor with me, we both kind of went, whoa, and I steadied, got the van straight again, and everything was fine, but it caught me off guard. It unsettled me. I was driving along, I had no expectation of this taking place whatsoever, and it really shook me, shook the van, shook the other pastor in the van with me, and we were unsettled for a little bit. That never happens to God. Never is God broadsided by a storm. An earthly storm, a spiritual storm. The situation that you're in, the situation that the world is in, didn't take God by surprise. And not only did it not take him by surprise, but when it did come, when as it was approaching, the Lord wasn't sitting in heaven. If you could imagine with me, the Lord wasn't sitting in heaven wringing his hands. Oh no, there's a lot of big things getting ready to happen. There's a lot of turmoil getting ready to take place, and well, I wonder how it's all. That never happened to the Lord. He is at perfect peace always. The one who created all. And as it's going on, sometimes we might know something difficult is going to come. And oftentimes, in the middle of big projects or something big and important coming up, an event, and you might see, you might know it's going to come, and in the midst of it, it's all stress and it's all tension. God is never that way. Never that way. So not before the event, Not if it's a sudden event, does it catch him by surprise? Not during. God is never disturbed. This is the peace of God that the Bible says he will give us. His peace. His peace. It's hard for us to truly understand. Just as it's hard for us to imagine that God is outside of time and inside of time, just as it's hard for us to truly comprehend that God is here, but yet he's also in Brighton, he's also in Germany, he's also in America, he's in Australia, he is everywhere. We can be at one place at one time. We can think about one thing at one time. God is not limited that way. And his peace is what the Bible is speaking about here. It is his peace that he gives, that he offers. What a gift. What a gift. Now, most of the Christian life, if you perhaps say you want something in your life, you want to have a certain part of the Christian life, you're lacking a certain Christian characteristic, an attribute of Christ being reflected in your life, and there's something that you want, you need that, you're lacking it, there's not ever really necessarily sort of a formulated step-by-step way in which we ought to get it. But the Bible says here something about the peace of God, and I believe there's a step-by-step way here. If these things are in our life, the Bible says God will give us his peace. God's peace will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, what are these things? We three things here. Verse number 4. The first thing that we need in our lives is found in verse number 4, and that is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." And I read it just recently, and see if I can find it very quickly. In the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says, verse number 16, "Rejoice evermore." 17, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore. Now, the Bible does not say give thanks for everything. The Bible says give thanks in everything. Rejoice evermore. The Bible says in verse number 4 of Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Our rejoicing and our thankfulness isn't the storm. Our rejoicing when tragedy comes, when we have difficult times, when perhaps we have disappointments or discouragements because of something that's come into our life, maybe even perhaps not of our own working, not of our own doing. It's come along. God has either touched our life and something has happened. Maybe evil men are working. It seems like they're being successful. The Bible says rejoice always. The Bible says give thanks. Give thanks in everything, but not for those things. So what are we to give thanks for? What are we to rejoice in? We're to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the fact that God is still God. God is still God. I didn't know if I would share this with you this evening or not, but I believe it could be possibly helpful to you. It wasn't long ago that my wife and I, we were expecting, and very sadly, one of our appointments with the midwife, the ultrasound, there was no heartbeat. And my wife was about halfway along, and there was no heartbeat. And so my wife had to give birth to a child that was already with the Lord. And that was a very difficult thing. It still is difficult. And it's more challenging for her now as well. But it's we know that it was she was far enough along so that we know that when she gave birth to our baby, and it was a boy. And so we gave him a name, and we had a burial for him. And we named him Elias. Elias simply means Jehovah is God. We wanted to name him that because we wanted people to know that we know and still believe that even though we suffer loss that just seems to many people just seems like it doesn't make sense, doesn't seem right, doesn't seem fair, you might say, it's because of sin in the world. But even though these things happen, God is still God. And we can rejoice and we can give thanks that God has not changed. And his peace we can have. He is still on the throne. He is still King of kings and Lord of lords. He is still good. He is still merciful every day. Long-suffering. He is still holy. He is still just. Someone once said it like this: God is too loving to ever be unkind, too wise to ever make a mistake, and he is too powerful for his plans to ever be thwarted. We can rejoice in that. That our loving, good God still reigns. He is still Lord. Rejoice in that. Hard times will come. And we can see good in them. And I can see how God has worked in my heart, my wife's heart, through these things. And God has worked what we would say evil for good in our life and is working. Please pray that he'll keep working. But we don't necessarily, we're not asked of the Lord to rejoice in those things. Yes, learn lessons, see the good, but rejoice in him. This is the first thing that's needed if we want to have the peace of God. Next, verse number 5. Verse number 5 is, the next point is submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Let your moderation be known to all men. What does it mean if you go to perhaps a meeting? Maybe some of you are on committees, or you're trustees, or you're on a board of members of something. And you convene from time to time, and you'll have meetings. And in that meeting, you'll have what? You'll oftentimes have a moderator. You'll have a moderator, which is much like this word here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And our moderation comes from a submission to God. When you're in a meeting, you have a moderator. People agree to submit mutually, mutual submission. They agree to submit to the moderator's leading. When he asks for silence, we are silent. When he brings up a new topic, we change gears and we head on to the new topic. When he closes the topic, we finish that one and we move on. When he opens the meeting, when he closes the meeting. And our moderation is from the Lord, comes from submitting to God. And our moderation shows that I'm not in control. My desires, we all have desires. We all have things that we want, things that we'd like to have happen, things that we'd like to see. And maybe it's a possession. Maybe it's a comfort. Maybe it's a relationship. And we want these things. But if we're submitting to God, then those desires will be given over to Him. And when we give our desires, when we submit to the Lord, He'll either change our desires into what they ought to be, or He'll simply give us the desires of our heart and testify, there'll be a witness within that what we want is what God wants. And so there's a submission, moderation. It's more than just, it means more than just saying that we live moderate lives and modest lives and that we're not extravagant people. It means more than just that. It means a submitting to the Lord. Because sometimes what happens is people make almost a law and make a law out of being moderate. You can see it in other religions and they take to extremes how people ought to dress. And they think that they ought to be modest and moderate in everything they do. They don't allow, they really get upset if somebody gets some nice car or a nice house or something along those lines. They go, oh, that shouldn't be happening. It's more than just that. God isn't teaching us that we have to all be paupers. But we must submit our wants, wishes, desires to the Lord. And what we'll find Him doing is giving us the desires of our heart. In other words, His desires in our heart. And if we want to have the peace of God, we need to submit to the Lord. Submit to Him. There's great comfort in submitting. You know, I like when I can go somewhere and I'm not in charge. I used to think when I was younger, and I don't think I'm that old yet, but I used to think when I was younger, I'd really like to be in charge. I'd really like to be the boss. You know, that'd be great. I get to tell people what to do. I don't really feel that way anymore. I like to go somewhere where I'm not in charge and somebody's telling me what to do. Because when they tell me what to do, if I do what they say, then they're responsible. It's on them. If something goes wrong, He told me. I was doing what He told me to do. Not my fault. And we sort of, there's a peace in that, isn't there? And when we submit to the Lord, there's a peace. But there's a safety. Because, yes, if I obey another man's word, another man's command, I might do well in obeying, but what He tells me to do could be wrong. Could be the wrong method. Could be the wrong thing to do. But when I obey God, when I submit to Him, not only is there comfort, but there's safety. Because He will guide us into all truth. He will never, ever lead us astray. Lead us into anything that we cannot handle. Lead us into anything that is too much for us. He'll always guide us into what's best for His glory and for His children. There's safety and comfort in submitting to the Lord. It makes sense that it would be a part of having the peace of God. Verse 5, the last part of it says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He just sort of slips it in there. Paul here to the Philippians, just a subtle reminder, the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord's return is imminent. We don't know when the Lord is coming again. But time and time again, the Bible says, He is coming. He is coming. And this is a sobering reminder. A sobering reminder which helps us submit to the Lord. Just like when you were in school and the teacher left the room for a little bit, the kids would start to chit-chat, right? But when you heard those footsteps coming down the hallway, everybody suddenly straightened up. They got quiet again. Maybe there was one kid that was sort of on duty to listen and wait. And you knew when that kid straightened up that you ought to as well. He was sort of a sign. Well, there are many signs today, but the Lord is at hand. And it should be a sobering thought that the Lord is at hand. And we should be wanting more than ever, now, more than ever, to submit to the Lord. Lastly, the last point is commune with the Lord. Commune with the Lord. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." If we want to have the peace of God, we need to be communing with the Lord. Not just with the big things. I had a school teacher one time. I was trying to get this right. I believe it was year 10. Year 10. And the school teacher was teaching us about the Spanish Armada. And she said that the English accounted their victory. They gave credit of their victory to the Lord at sending a storm so that they could defeat the Spanish Armada, because the Spanish Armada was by far much more powerful than the British fleet. But yet God sent a storm and enabled the English victory over the Spanish Armada. And she said, after stating it was kind of, she at least stated that part of history, that that's what the English believed. And then she said this, "But I don't think that God would concern himself with a little battle." And I thought, that's an interesting way to think. I don't think I agree with that. First of all, battle is quite a great thing. Many lives and souls involved. And I had somebody else say something to me about the same time in my life, maybe a year or two later. I was nervous about an exam. On my way to school, my dad was taking me to school. I was nervous about an exam coming up, struggling with a class. And he turned and he said to me, "Have you prayed about it?" And I looked at him, I said, "No, it's just an exam. I'm just a kid. I mean, what does it matter?" What he was trying to teach me was something very different than what that lady had said. He was trying to teach me verse 6 here. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. Don't stress and fret about anything. But on the other hand, in everything, by prayer and supplication, make with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. Whatever it is. Don't worry about it. Give it to God. And when we ask God, when we bring our supplications, the Bible says there's the way in which we ought to bring them. With thanksgiving. Well, shouldn't you say thank you after you get something, not before? Not with God. When we bring a request to God, we say thank you when we ask, because we know we are heard. And we know he will answer the right way. So we can say thank you. That's faith. We can say thank you when we ask. Commune with the others. Or sorry, commune with the Lord. Let your requests be made known unto God. So, rejoice in the Lord. Submit to the Lord. Commune with the Lord equals the peace of God through Christ Jesus. Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. God's peace, I've discovered, when he gives it, it's not just the world that doesn't understand. When you have the peace of God in your life, then you will confess, as I have confessed, I don't even understand it. I have it. I believe God has given it to me. And not something as if I've got it now, I can never lose it. But I have had it. I have experienced it. In my dark valleys, and my low times, I know that God has given me his peace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And I probably didn't have all of these things that I just preached about going on in my life. But God in his mercy, he gave me peace, his peace. And I had to say, I don't understand. I don't understand how I have peace now, but it's from the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the peace of God. Rejoice in the Lord, submit to the Lord, commune with the Lord, and you'll have the peace of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. I am thankful that God's word is simple. It's very plain and simple. Clear. Plain speech is easily understood. And this is plain but yet beautiful. And so, I hope that we will look to the Lord for peace in our life. And I pray that we'll trust him. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot have the peace of God. You cannot please him. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ, then I pray that you will trust him today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee again for thy word. Please take these things, bless, and in spite of the preacher, and may these truths be sown in our heart. May we just simply look to thee. We can try to work hard and make certain things happen, but we're not to work on a list. We're not to try to accomplish some set of rules, but we're to simply look to Jesus. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. May we rejoice in thee, submit to thee, and be communing with thee always. We pray this in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. I have a hymn that I'd like to read, hymn number 657. 657. I believe, as the story goes, that World War II had just broken out. Germany had declared war. England had declared war with Germany. The news was ringing out all over England. It was a Sunday. And someone had run into a church and said, "We're at war!" And the service was stopped. Everyone was silent, didn't know what to say, didn't know what to think. Fear and dread came over what the following days and months would hold. And then one of the men in the church stood up and began to sing, "Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed. To do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe, and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown, Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. It is enough. Earth's struggles soon shall cease. And Jesus calls us to heaven's perfect peace. The peace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe we have another hymn, though, that we'll hear, and we can turn together to hymn number 396. 396, stand if you like. And this hymn here will be played for us. 396, Our Heavenly Father calls, and Christ invites us near. With both our friendship shall be sweet, and our communion dear.